In very general terms, how did this attack, the 9/11 attack, impact America's foreign policy and relations in the kind of immediate aftermath?
The result of the provocation of what was really an outrageous attack was designed to make us angry. And in that anger, I say we because it was America and its allies, we responded with what was called the Global War on Terror. Now, we don't use that term anymore, but 19 years of continuous military conflict coming up, beginning with Afghanistan, then with Iraq. And really, the consequence of the 9/11 attacks was that a problem that had been around for decades with terrorism and in, you know, less years with Al-Qaeda so punched our buttons that we responded in a way that actually made it a much bigger problem than it had ever been before, and it continues to be a big problem with us today. You can draw a direct line from our response through to the rise of the Islamic State movement and the ongoing tragic circumstances in Afghanistan. So, sadly, it's been very counterproductive from our point of view. We were suckered into making a response which hasn't served our interests.
It's hard to imagine now kind of a world without 9/11, a world where 9/11 never kind of occurred. But as you say, we obviously had dealings, and the United States certainly had dealings in the Middle East prior to the 9/11 attacks. And this was an issue that already existed. Did we see a substantial shift in the kind of methods employed and the kind of diplomacy employed in the Middle East following 9/11?
Yeah, the big shift was that we decided we could use absolute military force, shock and awe, as Donald Rumsfeld called it in Iraq, and that that would deal once and for all with this problem. As it turned out, that played to the advantage of Al-Qaeda. It almost destroyed Al-Qaeda, although today it's stronger than ever because it's playing the long game. But in that angry response, very understandable angry response, and very justified that we should have made some sort of response and we should have been outraged. But in that outrage, we puffed up the sails of Al-Qaeda and gave that brand a drawing power, and then played into the geopolitics of Afghanistan first and then Iraq and indirectly Syria in a way which was to the advantage of Al-Qaeda and its spin-off groups like Islamic State. So we didn't see that coming. Some analysts did, but the political leadership didn't see it coming. But the end result was we made a bad problem, a much, much worse problem.
For Americans themselves, I mean, obviously there was a history there of America gaining some awareness, say, with the Vietnam conflict away around the way their sort of dealings had effects in the larger world. But 9/11 still seen as something of a loss of innocence for America, that these dealings, these very foreign things that were happening overseas could come back to hurt them at home. Did we see an ongoing effect then when Americans realised their own vulnerability?
We did, and it was a very understandable sense of shock. I mean, the entire global community shared in this shock. But, you know, this is a lesson that the French had learned many years earlier. Their activities in places like Algeria had brought terrorism home to the streets of Paris and other French cities. But they found a different way of dealing with that threat. America hadn't had an attack on home soil in this manner, since, as the comparison was often drawn, since the Pearl Harbor attacks of World War II. And just as Pearl Harbor provoked America into action in the Pacific War, in a way that actually was very constructive for the most part, 9/11 provoked America into action with a military response to a terrorist problem, which actually hasn't been productive. But it was just that shock of an attack on home soil that provoked that response. I mean, different leaders perhaps would have played it differently, there's no question, but in any case, the end result was not what we wished.
Obviously, we're looking at a great deal of what America and, ourselves here in Australia have been doing overseas, but in terms of domestic policy, how did we see domestic policy shift around 9/11 within America itself?
Well, one thing that has to be acknowledged is that the investment in counterterrorism, particularly when it comes to intelligence, and particularly working through police and working through police with community groups, has been very productive. We had a series of smaller international attacks by Al-Qaeda in the years that followed, Madrid and London, Istanbul and other sites. But really, by the time of that 7/7 July attack in London in 2005. That was the end of these audacious al-Qaeda attacks. So we were provoked into taking al-Qaeda seriously. The military campaign hadn't worked out well, but the investment in police and working with communities to try and use intelligence to get ahead of plots has been very successful. And that's kept us safe until this day. And it's forced al-Qaeda, under the long leadership of Ayman al-Zawahiri, to play the long game and try and move out of the crosshairs of U.S. targeting and not attempt an audacious attack. Islamic State split away from it and, of course, has done that. But it's a mixed story. You know, with the counterterrorism responses have been successful. The military campaign has not been successful.
Yeah, it's almost rather intriguing when we talk about the counterterrorism strategies. Does 9/11 still kind of impact counterterrorism strategies today, given, you know, as you say, with the 7/7 attacks and such as well? We saw these big attacks. We saw the Bali bombing, which obviously hit us here in Australia in terms of, well, the emotional impact.
Sure.
Do we still see these sort of larger attacks influencing counterterrorism strategies put into place today?
Well, the October 2002 attack in Bali, of course, shocked us. 88 Australians killed, 202 people killed directly, but it shocked the Indonesians and it forced them to get their act together with the Indonesian police and counterterrorism capacity. And today, they're one of the best counterterrorism forces in the world, and they've got terrorism under control in Indonesia. They haven't let it go away, but they've got it under control. So that was, in that sense, productive. But the flip side, particularly in Western countries like Australia, is that we didn't really have a big problem with Islamophobia prior to 9/11. And in the you know, 19 years since, and whole generations of people who've grown up with no other memory, this excessive, irrational, prejudicial fear of Islam and of Muslims has gone out of control. And it's strangely played into the recruiters of later groups like Islamic State when it comes to recruiting. And, you know, this was not something that people wished for, but it's the flip side of awakening to a threat and then speaking very generally about it in ways that is picked up by some in politics, deliberately or not deliberately, to broadly blame entire communities. And, of course, it's been the Muslim communities that have been at the forefront of our counterterrorism intelligence efforts in preventing attacks, but often that's forgotten. And it means that, you know, many Muslims in Australia have no memory but of living in this era of prejudice and skepticism and suspicion, which is really sad.
Mm. Well, Greg, I do appreciate you joining us on this one. Obviously, it is something of an inauspicious day, an auspicious kind of anniversary. Really do appreciate you joining us this morning.
Good talking about it. It's difficult stuff, but it's important that we face up and hopefully try and learn some of the lessons of history. Otherwise, as they say, we're doomed to repeat them.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.